it may not come to surprise to some of you. Some of you know that I don't usually put together my talks until Saturday evening. Afternoon, maybe, if there's something else going on. And it's not that I don't, like, percolate. I know what we're going to talk about. It's kind of, it's doing its thing, and I'm collecting things, so I'm working on it, but not writing, putting it down on paper. And this is the best way it works for me. I know plenty of ministers who do it this way. I know plenty of ministers who haven't written by Monday. We all got our way of doing things, and that's fine. But there are weeks when something happens in the community or in the world on Friday or Saturday, and I wonder how on earth I'm going to bring it all together. And I know I'm not the only one, because a few of my minister friends on Facebook said pretty much the same thing this week. And of course, if I'd prepped the whole talk, that doesn't mean I wouldn't feel the need to address it, like another minister friend who was up very early this morning writing a new talk. So see, I really just saved myself the trouble. Now, during the election, our community was a no politics zone as far as talking about candidates, because it's important to remember that we can be kind and be okay with other people having different viewpoints than us. And of course, it's also against the rules for a church to support a candidate, even though I know some people don't follow the rules. I'm going to keep our tax exempt status in good status. It's a good thing. So anyway, however, there are a lot of things going on in our world and in our community that are really not about politics. People may say that they are, but they're not. These are things about equality and justice and choosing love. It's kind of like Jesus kind of stuff. So what's a spiritually minded person supposed to do when there is injustice happening in the world? Because I think that if I just completely ignored that there were things going on in the world, it would seem kind of fake. Because we're living in the out there in the world. We're not in a monastery where we can sort of ignore what's going on outside our walls. We don't live that life, especially in 24-hour news cycle social media world that we live in. So what are we supposed to do as a spiritually minded person? Well, the answer is pray and move your feet. I don't know about you, but I was deeply touched when I saw clergy ministering to and walking with the folks in Charlottesville this week. They were saying hate doesn't belong here. In my experience, in my observation, when fear or hate tries to push in, love and compassion will push back. And my dear friend and classmate Ogan, who was one of the ones trying to figure out what to do with his sermon today, said he tweeted, "A difficult day to believe that love is the ultimate answer. Difficult, but not impossible. Difficult, but not impossible." So love, you see, is not just some fluffy Valentine's emotion. It's one of our 12 powers. It is the force that binds the universe together. It's paraphrasing Charles Fillmore. Love is the force that binds the universe together, including all of us. Love is fierce, like a mother defending her young. Love is steadfast, like one of the dads of one of Mary Ellen's Special Olympics teammates. He shows up to everything because he knows his son needs him there. And in so doing, all the other athletes get benefit. He's been schlepping around all the bocce balls the whole season in his car. I don't know if he takes them out on the days we don't have practice or not, but he brings them because he's always there early and he sets up and he does all that stuff. He is steadfast in his love for his son and by extension, the rest of the athletes. Love knows that we have much more in common with our fellow beings than we have that is different. And so love is unlimited. So this week, the theme from the book, Living Originally, I remember the name of the book this week, Living Originally. And it's to try on the filter of everything being my teacher. You might remember the first five skills of the book: self-awareness, self-acceptance, unlimited forgiveness, universal benevolence, and compassionate communication. These are everyday lifetime tools. These are like your coffee maker or your electric toothbrush or whatever are the tools, or even your regular toothbrush, the tools that you use every day to make your life work. Those, and then these next five skills are kind of like your steam cleaner for your carpet, the ones that you don't use very, you don't necessarily use all the time, but you say, well, maybe that'll do the trick. Maybe that'll do what I need it to do. And so we try on some of these other skills and use them sometimes as needed, maybe a little more often than your steam cleaner, but you get the idea. So what does it mean that everything is my teacher? Well, something, here we go. I get irritated. Some people take this to mean that all the happenings in their life are pre-ordered and that some entity, Santa Claus in the sky, has decided that you need to learn something, and so that's why everything happens. And you might hear the short version of this is that everything happens for a reason. I find this to be incomplete and harmful. I mean, it can be comforting to be like, okay, well, it'll all... But you can't believe, really believe in free will and believe that everything happens for a reason that's ordained by someone else. They don't, the opposite doesn't work. However, if instead of saying that someone or it was ordered ahead of time that is trying to teach you a lesson, instead, what if you said, there is something I can learn from that? I will find a reason in this happening. Instead of everything happens for a reason, I will find a reason in this happening. And then we bring the point of power back to us. When we see something other than love happening in our world, we get to choose our response. Mother Teresa said, not all of us can do great things, but we can all do small things with great love. And I know all of you, and I know that you have great love in your hearts. And that's what we get to do. Sometimes it's easy to get overwhelmed. We see there's a big problem, there's something going on, and we get paralyzed by the enormity of it. Well, if I do this, then if I do this, then I can't fix the whole thing. No, you can't. It's okay. But what if all of us said we could just fix our part or do something about our part? That would be equally as effective, right? When we get mad or upset or fearful, this isn't time to engage our curiosity. What is mine to do? What is mine to learn? And when I find myself in this place of questioning, or maybe I'm even a little having some feelings about the things that are going on in the universe, like, why is this happening to me feelings? I think of the story of Jacob from Genesis. And it's such, you know, you don't hear me talking about Genesis very often, right? But this is such a great story because Jacob has sent his whole crew ahead, and he's trying to sleep by the river, and a man, an angel, depends on whose version of the story you ask, comes along and he wrestles with the man all night. All night. And near the end, while the morning's coming, the entity that he's wrestling with says, you know, morning's coming, you got to let me go. And Jacob says, no, I will not let you go until you bless me. And so he gets his blessing and he becomes special and they all go their merry ways. That's not the important part of the story to me. I may be a heretic for saying so, but whatever. The important part is that when you're in the struggle, there's a blessing in there. And that's not to say that sometimes the best blessing is to know it's when it's okay to let it go. Sometimes there is that. But sometimes you go, even if it happened, already happened, it's over, you've moved on. Well, what can I learn from that? We all know there's the people who can learn that the stove is hot by someone telling them, and then there's the other people who have to touch it. Well, what can we learn from the first time we touched the stove and try not to do that again, right? That's my favorite story about life being our teacher. I will not let go until you bless me. Love is steadfast. I'm going to keep showing up to help, to serve, even in my discomfort. Even if I'm not sure if what I'm doing is completely the right thing, or if I'm sure if I'm doing it the right way, I'm going to keep showing up because that's what love does. And maybe that's all the lesson I need. Maybe in the showing up is the lesson. There's plenty of things going on in our world, whether it's our world or in our country or right here in our own state or in our own city, that can be enough to get you riled up about something. Which means there's lots of opportunities for learning stuff. Yay! Because it can be uncomfortable. So I'm just going to ask you to be brave with me. Because when I see these things happening, these things being whatever, there are lots of things going on, right? We all pay attention to the news enough to know that there's lots of things going on. If we can be brave for a moment, we can say, is there something in this thing that's happening that I'm upset about, that I'm a part of? Just a question. Not saying you are, but just a question. What part of this that's going on can I heal in myself? Just a question. Because that's what love does. If there's anything in me that's incongruent with how I want to show up, then I can do something about it. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm just saying that's what we do. And so it's those little shifts. It's not an all at once perfect approach. It's like, I keep seeing this fabulous autumn leaf tree painting over here, and I'm thinking it's just like the one leaf that changes color, and then one leaf. It may look like it happens all at once, but it's really one leaf at a time. And that's how we change, right? One leaf at a time. And that's how the leaves fall off the tree. One leaf at a time. That's how we change and how we grow and we become more of who we want to be, one little bit at a time. As we let the world be our teacher of who we want to be and how we want to show up and how we don't want to show up, sometimes the world shows us really clearly what we don't want to be. That's okay. We can learn from that too. So that's what a spiritual person does. We don't pray or just pray and go off to our little monastery and say those are problems of the world. A lot of the great leaders of our world were spiritual leaders as well as revolutionaries, right? So a spiritual person, yes, you pray. And then we use our inner wisdom, we all got it, to create movement. What is that movement? What is that step? That's for you and your inner wisdom to figure out. And what's your step today may not be the same step it is tomorrow. That's okay. And so, like Ogun, I do believe that love is the answer. And I do believe that love will prevail. And I believe it'll take all of us.